From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. The U.S. has announced it's pulling out of the U.N. Human Rights Council. U.S. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley accused the council of protecting what it called a cesspool of political bias, especially where Israel is concerned. She was joined by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
We have no doubt that there was once a noble vision for this council. But today we need to be honest. The Human Rights Council is a poor defender of human rights. Worse than that, the Human Rights Council has become an exercise in shameless hypocrisy, with many of the world's worst human rights abuses going ignored, and some of the world's most serious offenders sitting on the council itself.
And he took aim at some of those members.
Its membership includes authoritarian governments with unambiguous and abhorrent human rights records, such as China, Cuba, and Venezuela. There is no fair or competitive election process, and countries have colluded with one another to undermine the current method of selecting members. And the council's continued and well-documented bias against Israel is unconscionable.
UN Rights Chief Zayd Raad Al Hussein said given the state of human rights in the world today, the U.S. should be stepping up, not stepping back. Several rights groups warn the U.S. withdrawal will make it difficult to advance rights priorities and aid victims of abuse around the world. South Sudanese President Salva Kiir will meet his rival Riek Machar in Addis Ababa later Wednesday in a new push by host Ethiopia to reignite efforts to end that country's five-year conflict. A series of ceasefires and a peace agreement have failed to halt the fighting that has left tens of thousands dead and brought large parts of the population to the brink of starvation. Mediation efforts will be conducted by the Regional Bloc Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD. This is VOA News. Forces backed by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates stormed the Hodeidah airport on Yemen's Red Sea coast Tuesday in a week-long struggle with Houthi rebel defenders. Emirati Foreign Affairs Ministry official Talal al-Tanaji displayed what he called Iranian-made weapons captured in the fighting. Iran has denied arming the rebels. Meanwhile, the Houthis said they launched a missile targeting a facility belonging to the Saudi oil firm Aramco in southwest Saudi Arabia. Riyadh said its air defenses intercepted the missile. The Trump administration is threatening more penalties on Chinese imports in a pressure campaign to change what it calls China's economic aggression, including forced technology transfers. Peter Navarro, an economic advisor to President Donald Trump, outlined the reasons for the approach.
One, the need to reduce our massive trade deficit, which represents an equally massive transfer of wealth, factories, and jobs to China. Two, and more importantly, for this country's economic future and national security, China's bid to acquire the crown jewels of American technology and intellectual property by any means necessary.
In a Wednesday editorial, the China Daily denounced the U.S. for having what it called a bloodlust when it comes to pushing its trade agenda. North Korean state media said leader Kim Jong-un and China's President Xi Jinping came to an understanding on issues discussed during 2 days of talks in Beijing, including the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. The meeting follows last week's historic U.S.-North Korea summit in Singapore. U.S. spokesperson Heather Nauert said the U.S. was watching the talks in China.
We're watching it carefully. We're watching it closely. We are continuing communications with the North Korean government. We look forward to them following through on their commitments and agreements that they made last week at the summit.
The North Korean leader promised to cooperate with China to secure what was called true peace in the process of opening a new future on the Korean Peninsula. Wednesday is UN World Refugee Day, and the global agency's refugee chief said nearly 70 million people were made refugees last year, a new record high. Filippo Grandi spoke in Libya Tuesday.
But the response to this crisis is not to panic, is not to shut down borders and ports, but to work together internationally, to find solution. If this happens, the problem will be manageable.
For a fourth year in a row in 2017, Turkey remained the country with the most refugees, nearly 3.5 million from the Syrian conflict. President Donald Trump's special Mideast envoy Jason Greenblatt and advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner met Tuesday with Jordan's King Abdullah in Amman to discuss Mideast peace. The U.S. delegation is also planning stops in Israel, Egypt, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, but has no plans to meet with Palestinians who criticize the U.S. move of the embassy to Jerusalem. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.